Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to another episode of Birds at the Rodeo. I'm Eric, your resident Eagles fan.
I'm Orlando, the resident Cowboys fan.
And I gotta sound off on this. Before we even get into football, I gotta sound off on this. Lando, I just showed you the video. I know you don't watch MMA like that. I'm a huge UFC and MMA guy. I have beef with the UFC tonight, okay? UFC 323 took place this past weekend. Last pay-per-view ever featuring ESPN, right? They're going to Paramount starting next year. Overall, it was a great card. It was two championship fights. My guy Merab lost. I love Merab. Still my favorite fighter. I think he'll get his trilogy fight and hopefully be able to get his belt back against Piotr Jan. He was a better fighter that night, though. Hats off to him. But my real gripe, my issue, my beef is with the fight that took place beforehand, okay? The UFC flyweight belt was on the line. Alessandro Pantoja, the defending champ. In my opinion, I'm not going to lie, I think when healthy, I think Alessandro Pantoja is probably the best, if not the second best fighter on the planet. I just don't think he gets the recognition like that because he's in such a small weight class.
Right.
He was defending his belt against Joshua Van. I'm not going to lie. Heading into the fight, I completely thought Pantoja was going to win. I thought he was going to win in pretty dominant fashion. That's just every time this guy fights, I'm not even going to say he gets better. It just, he shows us another level that he gets to, right? It's just, it's insane. I truly love and enjoy watching him fight, right? First round begins. They're kind of feeling each other out on the feet, you know, getting a little stick and jab here and there. And anybody who watched the fight, we all know what happened. Right? Pantoja goes for a head kick. Joshua Van checks the head kick. He then pushes Pantoja onto the ground towards the mat. Pantoja turns. He's trying to brace his fall. He's falling back like this. He breaks his arm. Okay. At that point, fight is over. Pantoja's on the ground and he literally is telling him, no, I can't stop. My arm is broken, right? Fight's over.
Right.
Fight's over. They deemed that a TKO. Which means Joshua Van got the belt. And I have a major issue with that because, number one, Joshua Van did not... Because here's the argument people were trying to make. Joshua Van broke his arm. No, he did not. He caught the kick. He pushed him. Alessandro Pantoja is trying to brace his fall. Fair or not, if it was the right way or the wrong way, he's trying to brace his fall.
Right.
And he breaks his arm.
Because there's a difference between like bracing your arm to fall and like an arm bar.
Yes, it was not an arm bar. He didn't kick his arm. He just broke his arm trying to break his fall. That's exactly what happened. I got an issue with that, man. I don't think a championship belt should ever exchange hands in a scenario like that. I really don't. It's happened before in the UFC to a lesser degree. This happened, funny enough, so the guy that won the belt in the other fight Saturday night, Piotr Jan, he originally lost his belt, right? Because he's a two-time champ now. He lost his belt the first time around five years ago to Aljamain Sterling. He lost. He was whooping Aljamain Sterling, right? Whooping her for four rounds. He did an illegal, I think it was an elbow or a knee, and he got disqualified. And he lost his belt because of that.
Right.
I don't like that at all. I don't like that at all. There's a thing in fighting, in boxing, MMA, called a no contest for a reason, right? If you look at the definition of no contest, it talks about unforeseen circumstances. It says medical issues, okay? And like you said, it wasn't an arm bar. It's not like he forced a limb to break. Joshua Van did not force a limb to break. No, this was a freak accident.
Right.
He literally broke his arm bracing the fall, okay? I don't think in any circumstances like that, the belt should change hands. I'm not even a fan of interim championship belts. I'm not. But I do believe this exact scenario is one in which an interim championship is called for, right? Pantoja breaks his arm. Called a no contest. He keeps his belt. You know, takes the next maybe 8, 9, 10 months to recover, whatever. And let Joshua Van fight. They're talking about Tyra or one of the other top contenders for the interim belt. And let them be the interim champ until Pantoja gets right. Pantoja and Van or whoever's the interim champ at that point, they can run it. And then we go from there. That's exactly how I think it should have went. That's not how it went. Pantoja lost his belt. And now like the whole division is kind of scrambling. And on top of that, if you're Joshua Van, you know, he's talking about F everybody who says he didn't win it and all this and that. Like, dude, you didn't.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Like, you literally didn't win it. Mm. And I'm not going to lie. And people might think I'm crazy for this. If that happened to me, right? If I'm Joshua Van, I'm telling you, and y'all can say I'm capping or whatever. I promise you, anybody who knows me knows I'm dead serious when I say this. If I'm Joshua Van, I'm telling Dana White, bro, just don't give me the belt. Don't, like, literally, I'll fight an inner guy for it. Don't give me that. I didn't earn that.
Yeah,
I didn't earn that. I don't want that.
Yeah.
Number one, I'm not gonna be respected until I beat Pantoja. Okay, I didn't take the belt from him. Right?
It was given to me.
Yeah. Right.
It's not the same.
It's not the same at all. You didn't do anything to earn that. Like, you did it. Like, I hate it so much. And I'm perplexed as to why this angle that I'm bringing it up in, right? It is not talked about nearly enough in the MMA world. Like, I'm watching the post-fight show and everything. They're not even talking about that angle of it. They're just kind of talking about, oh, yeah, like, you know, they feel bad for Pantoja, they feel bad for Van too, but it's like they're not talking. I don't understand why this isn't brought up as more of a thing in the MMA world, at least from the people I'm watching, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not talked about at all. And I really do not understand why that can't be deemed a no contest. Okay, the fight didn't finish. Neither fighter won. A limb was broken in a freak accident. That's exactly what happened. And a belt changes hands because of it. That doesn't seem right. That's not fair. And if I'm Pantoja, man, he's on class and everything, but like, I'm not gonna lie. Like, I'd be pissed. Like, why is that not a no contest? I broke my arm bracing my fall. Why is that not a no contest? Like, I lose my belt because I broke my arm.
Yeah,
he didn't break it. Like, I broke my arm. Yeah. Right? Like, I hate that so much. Like I said, I got into it with one of our bosses, Sam.
Mm-hmm.
We were going back and forth over it this weekend. I'm not a fan of it. I'm not a fan of it at all. I hate that decision. And it really just makes me sick to my stomach. Like, a guy lost his belt because of this. That's sorry to me, man. That's sorry to me. So yeah, man, UFC, y'all got to fix that, dude. I'm not a fan of that at all. That doesn't make any sense to me. If I break my arm, like, if you have to make it different for championship fights, then make it different for championship fights. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is what all guys are fighting for, right? If they got to be held to a different standard for this, then fine. Let them be held to a different standard. No guy, no man, no woman should win the belt like that, man. That's not right. That's not right. I'm not here for it. And, I feel sorry for Pantoja, man, and I hope he comes back stronger, faster. There's no guarantee Joshua Van is even the champ. He's not. I don't consider Joshua Van the champ. I'm still calling Pantoja the champ because he never lost the belt. I'm sticking to it. I don't care what anybody says. So, yeah, man, I hope Pantoja gets back, and, you know, his belt's waiting on him. His belt's waiting on him because he is the best flyweight in the world, and nothing else to it, man. I'll prayers out to him. Hopefully he gets a speedy recovery.
For sure.
Yeah, man, I hope he gets his belt back soon. And Dana, UFC, Hunter Campbell, all you guys, man, y'all got to reevaluate this. It's not a good look for the sport, right? Like, it's just not a good look for the sport. Nobody likes to see that. Nobody should. So I think they got to reevaluate how they the rules that apply to championship fights, man, because no belt should exchange hands like that, in my opinion. Okay, let's go ahead and get into last night, man. That was the worst game I think I've ever seen Jalen Hurts play.
I don't want to, like, not to just dog put them. Can you think of any games worse than that from
a quarterback?
Yeah.
I mean, the Nathan Peterman one. That's the only one that's comparable. It was just bad. He played piss poor, and I mean, you know, five turnovers, man. I mean, when you commit five turnovers by yourself, that's a hard thing to do, and that's a hard thing for your team to overcome.
Right. And they still almost did.
Saquon had his best game of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Our defense is still playing lights out after Jalen put them in compromising position after compromising position, right? It was either a field goal or nothing, right?
Yeah, or no, they forced the turnover.
Yes, dude, we sacked Justin Herbert seven times.
And you know, even the ones y'all, the times y'all didn't get him, he was running for his life.
Yes, he was. He was kind of pissing me off a little bit because it's like, dude, like I'm a fan of Justin Herbert, but it's like, oh my God, like we sacked him 7. We should have sacked him like 9 or 10 times, honestly.
Right.
Yeah, dude. That, I mean, listen, let's just go through the turnovers first, right? That first interception, that was on Jalen. And then the fumble,
yeah,
the subsequent recovery, and then a fumble, that was on Jalen, right? I mean, I don't know how you don't see that underneath defender right there. That was, I don't know what that was, just bad.
He just wasn't
in the field.
Maybe he was dropped into a QB spot because you normally don't.
Well, see him drop, but like, there's no, Jalen should have saw that. Like, there's no excuse for that. Yeah. I think even he'll say that. Like, there's no excuse for that. He should have seen that. The second one to Dante Jackson, I'm iffy on that one. Devontae Smith clearly slips, and Dante Jackson made a play on the ball. I mean, the ball was obviously behind Devontae, but whatever, right? Like, okay. The third one, that was on A.J. Brown.
Mm-hmm.
That was on A.J. Brown. You got to catch those, man. No excuse. I mean, he said it after the game, like, I got to catch those. I got to make those plays. No excuse. He should have caught that. That fourth one, obviously, the nail in the coffin.
Mm-hmm.
Dallas Goedert was open underneath as the check down. And Troy Aikman, former Dallas Cowboy great, Troy Aikman was saying it all night. Jalen Hurts has not been looking for his check downs.
Mm.
And on the last play, that absolutely killed us.
Yeah, definitely.
It absolutely killed us. He tried to force it in there. You didn't have to.
It was first down.
We were driving, and he killed us. He killed us flat out. He killed us.
Y'all were in a position to where, at worst, y'all tied
the game. Which, I mean, you know how I feel about, you know, regular season tie. No NFL regular season game should end in a tie. But
Well, because there's, it goes by time, so there might have been.
There was like 20. Three or two.
But it extends the game. It doesn't. Y'all don't lose the game right there with that play.
And let me just say this. We shouldn't have even touched overtime. We had the ball with like 2 minutes and some change left.
Mm-hmm.
All we had to do was lean on the run game.
Right.
Bleed the clock out, kick a field goal, go home. That's all we had to do, and we didn't do it. I can't even put this on Kevin Betulo. I mean, and Nick Sirianni, he's come out and said like he was more hands-on with the offensive game planning this week, and he will be next week as well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, running game, it looked better, right? That fake tush push really sprung things open for us. I mean, it really did, right? Saquon, he was getting good yards, but after that, it was really starting to spring things open for us. Aside from Jalen Hurts hitting Dallas Goedert in the middle consistently, majority of the night, like, our passing game did not look cohesive at all. O-line play, Cam Jurgens, I'm gonna sound like a broken record at this point. He is hurt. Landon Dickerson got hurt again in this game, bruh. If you are not 100%, and I know like they're NFL players and we're warriors and we got to go out there and play, whatever, dude. You're hurting the team now.
Yeah.
Like I'm seeing Cam Jurgens get beat on things. There's no way he should be getting beat on. I mean, Saquon still. I mean, for majority of the night, he still had four guys in his face behind the line of scrimmage.
Definitely.
It's bad, man. It's the same old song, man. Our defense gave us opportunity after opportunity after we put them in bad spot after bad spot after bad spot after bad spot.
Yeah.
And we could not capitalize. Well, it took us 4 quarters to reach the end zone.
Right.
It took us 4 quarters to reach the end zone. Yeah, man. It's it's over, right? I've been saying that. We got the Raiders coming up, and I know it's the Raiders, right? There's no way we lose this game. The Raiders only lost to the Broncos 24-17.
Right.
So yeah, do I think, is there a scenario in which we lose to the Raiders? Absolutely.
Yeah,
as crazy as that sounds.
That would definitely be putting that nail in the coffin.
God, man.
I mean, y'all are in a spot where y'all need to at least go 2-2.
Yeah.
To secure that playoff spot. If y'all go 2-2, we win. Y'all need to go 3-2 or 3-1. to secure the playoff spot?
We got the Raiders. We got Buffalo, just came off a really good win. Mm-hmm. And then we got Washington.
Twice, yeah.
Now, Washington, I don't even know what to say about that, man. But I'm telling you, like, I'm not going into this Sunday thinking, oh, it's the Raiders, we're gonna walk.
Right.
I'm not thinking that in the slightest.
Yeah, Washington is bad, but division games are
always tough. They're always scrappy, no matter what.
Right.
What you want me to say, man? My quarterback played the worst game he could literally ever play, and our defense still gave us chances, and we could not come through. I kept saying it in the last 5 minutes of the fourth and in overtime, right? I literally kept saying, play at your best when your best is required. I kept saying that, right? And I'm just kept saying, like, okay, like, Jalen's going to, you know, start to get it going and play at his best when his best is required, because his best is required right now.
Yeah.
Right? He did not come through. Saquon Barkley tried. Right? I think he literally hit 20 carries on the game. I don't know where we go from here. Like, I mean, that's a game that we should have won. It shouldn't have even gotten to overtime, because, like I said, if we lean on the run game, run the clock out, force them to use their timeouts, run the clock out, kick a field goal, go home.
Right.
We couldn't do it. We didn't do it. Yeah, I don't even know, man. It's sad. It's people ask me, what's wrong with your team, man? I said it a few weeks ago. The free fall is happening. I said it a few weeks ago on here. The free fall is happening. It's tough, man. It's tough. I can't wait to see what Nick Sirianni says on Hard Knocks this week. Right? Yeah, man. Yeah, it's tough. And, you know, everybody, because now everybody's starting to come at Jalen, come at Nick Sirianni and everything. And it's like, man. I mean, first of all, I mean, I've said it on here. I do not think Nick Sirianni's job should be in jeopardy at all. I really don't. Now, again, I'm prefacing that by saying, there has to be like a 0.01% chance of this happening. If Kevin Petullo ran it back,
right?
Oh, any wrongdoings that happen next season, Nick Sirianni, I'm looking squarely at you. I don't care who. I don't care if Kevin's there. Like, if it's Kevin, and our offense is still this bad, if we lack an identity.
It's his fault.
It's all on Nick Sirianni at that point. I get it's your guy. You wanted to give him the season to figure it out. Fine, but nah, yeah, I'm not Nick Sirianni. I don't think he should be fired. It's funny now. Everybody's starting to come at Jalen Hurts, man. And it's like, all right, bro. I don't like when he's balling, he can't win. When he's not balling, he definitely can't win. I mean, I said it on here before, right? He's going to be the most polarizing quarterback in NFL history. He can't win one way or the other. He can, because if he's putting up numbers, he's getting carried. And if he's not putting up numbers, he's Nathan Peterman. I saw that meme. Somebody put a post on me. You know that Tobey Maguire meme with the glasses?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was like the blurry one is
Jalen Hurts.
And then he puts the clear lenses on, and there's Nathan Peterman. He can't win. He's still my quarterback. I'm still ride with him. He played horrible last night. Worst game I've ever seen him play. By far. He said it. I'm saying it. Everybody knows it. We all watched it. Still my guy. Still my quarterback. I'm still riding with him, man. But we got to figure this out. Last night was on him, but this season has been a disaster on offense. And you can look at Jalen. You can look at Kevin Petullo. You can look at Nick Sirianni. It's everybody. It's everybody. And everybody's saying, oh, my God, like, we need to get Lane Johnson back. Man, the offense looked like this with Lane Johnson. I'm telling you, Lane coming back ain't going to do nothing. It's not. And Fred Johnson, by the way, has been holding his own.
Mm-hmm.
It was holding his own last night against Khalil Mack. He wasn't the one getting holding calls. That was Jordan. Okay, so, yeah. It's same old song and dance, man. Y'all know where I'm at. How do I feel about the Raiders? I really don't know. Mm. I really do not know. Are the Raiders bad? Do they suck? Yes. We've lost to lesser teams a couple times this season already. Yeah, man. Yeah, it's tough. It's tough out here.
As a Cowboys fan, that was what people are calling like the most successful hate watch in history. Like, for you, that's like, that'd be like if Ohio State went out there and
Julius Thane, Indiana,
through five,
Indiana, get my get back. Yeah, I need that.
And just for the Cowboys' chances, just because we didn't handle our business in the Lions game, so every loss for y'all helps us. So it's kind of confusing to see, because I just feel like the way the team is like, I just don't understand why the offense is that bad.
Yeah.
And
I mean, that's the difference between, you know, one-offs and dynasties.
Yeah.
Right. Definitely. Like seriously, because the Super Bowl slump, like that's what everybody talks about. Right. Like the teams that come back and they're still revving that same engine and they're still showing levels of excellence. Like those, that's what made the Patriots the Patriots. That's what made the Chiefs a couple years ago the Chiefs. Right. Like that's the, like, we're not a dynasty. We have the most talent in the league, and yet we can't put it together, bro. We can't.
Yeah.
Can't put it together. Yeah. I mean, we might, I mean, as of right now, we are one off, right? I mean, you know, we won one back in 2018. Fast forward 5 years, 4 or 5 years later, 6 years later, we win another one, but by no means are we a dynasty, man. Even the Cowboys, right? Like back in the 90s, like that's what separates the good from the great. You know, the ability to stay consistent and not let last season hang over into next season, right?
Yeah.
And just be able to come out and punch guys in the mouth and understand you are going to get everybody's best shot, and that doesn't mean nothing, right?
That's with the territory.
Right, right. So, yeah, man, I really think that's what separates the good from the greats, the one-offs from the dynasties, right? We're not there, man. We're not there, and it's crazy because we have all the pieces. We have all the pieces,
yeah,
and we just can't put it together.
That, to me, that's honestly what makes y'all scary as a team. Your defense just being so good, and then your offense having the pieces to where it's like, well, they really only need to make a few plays a game to get in position. They're like, y'all are very similar to the Texans right now, to where your defense is going out there and holding teams under 20. So if they're just begging the offense, hey guys, dude, score a couple touchdowns.
Real quick, did the Texans bury the Chiefs?
Yeah, I think
you think so.
Yeah, the Chiefs are done. I think they'll beat the Chargers this week coming up, but I think they need too much to happen for them to be able to make the playoffs. So yeah, I think it's done.
I mean, dude, we're living in a world right now where the Ravens, the Chiefs,
Bengals. The Bengals still have a chance, but really long shot.
Oh, dude, I love Joe Burrow, but man, that was a tough ender for him against Buffalo.
I don't know what happened. They just kind of, imploded.
All those defenses made plays. Like,
I kid you not, from the moment I turned the game on, it was legit, like, every play just was a terror. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't turn it on to the very end.
That was two interceptions back to back, man.
And I was like, the moment I turned the game on, and then even like the plays the Bills were making were like
Josh Allen going for a 45 yard touchdown in the snow. No,
the moment I turned the game on, it was in the middle of that play, running the touchdown, and then as soon as they get the ball back, interception.
Yep.
Pick six. As soon as they get the ball back again, interception. Then they score again, and then finally the Bengals were able to get some points up to make it close again. But it was too late. So
yeah. It's the NFL playoff landscape is going to look very, very different this year.
Yeah,
very different. But you kind of alluded to it earlier. But yeah, man, the Cowboys fell short against Detroit last Thursday night.
Yeah. So it was we were on the last game of what everyone was kind of looking at as the gauntlet of our schedule, to where if we can make it out of this with a win, where I mean at that point we would have been on a 4-game winning streak,
right?
And especially with the Eagles losing to the Chargers, I mean we would have been y'all to lose one more game for us to overtake the division. And even if we weren't in position to do that, it would have gave us it took our chances from like 9% to like 50%.
Yeah.
Had we won, because we would have jumped the Lions from the eighth seed to the seventh seed.
Right.
And like you said, we just fell short. I mean,
I just want to say, like watching that game, my biggest takeaway was just like, the Lions were able to make explosive plays when it counted. Y'all just couldn't get it done. Like, y'all just couldn't make those same plays.
To my biggest takeaway is Matt Eberflus is a coaching terror. Him and Kevin Petullo need to get in a two-door sedan and just drive off and keep going.
It's crazy because Jahmyr Gibbs, like, he didn't rush for that many yards, but he had, like, I think, like, 140 scrimmage yards.
They were literally lining him up as a receiver.
Yeah. No, he's insane.
So, like, that and it was, to me, it was just infuriating to watch our defense revert right back to what we were doing pre-trade deadline. It was almost like I said before, he's weaponizing his stubbornness again. It was like everything we'd done in our 3-game winning streak, he completely threw it out the window and refused to do it. Just a week ago, the Lions, they lost
to the Packers.
They lost to the Packers. And I mean, they just completely rattled Jared Goff.
Yep.
And that's the way everyone knows Jared Goff isn't the best under pressure.
You get in space, you go get around, and
he literally in the first drive, we get a sack on Jared Goff, force a field goal. He blitz the numbers are out there, but he blitzed like 50% of the time on that drive, got like eight or like four or five, a couple of pressures and ended up with a sack, and then didn't blitz like the rest of the freaking game.
Yeah.
Except and watch Jared Goff sit back and just dice up in it. And he, like I said, had them in zone. But then when he had them in man, he forces terrible players onto the field. Why is Marquise Bell guarding Jamison Williams 1-on-1 across the entire field? That's insane. Yeah. He's not. He calls a terrible scheme.
Yeah.
And even when he calls a different, he changes it up a little. He has the wrong players in, has them in the worst position. I've legit never hated a coach more in my entire
than Matt Eberflus.
He does nothing to help this team win.
Yeah.
Even in the 3-game winning streak, I mean, if you look at it, we beat the Las Vegas Raiders, one of the worst teams in the NFL.
Yes.
Beat the Philadelphia Eagles, whose offense has struggled all season. You just talked about that, and then they beat the Chiefs. But then we were excited because our defense held them to 28 points.
Yeah,
that's not good.
Right,
it's not like the worst.
It just looks good because you have Quentin Williams and the new guys, right?
No, it just looks good because it's not 40 anymore. And so it's like, even if your defense is giving up 28 points, that's you look at that's not a recipe for success.
Right.
So it's like the moment he went and played a decent offense, the two times that he's played defense offense, he didn't. They played decent against one. We got way more pressure on Patrick Mahomes. I mean, I don't know what his holdup is in doing the things that are working, playing to his player's strengths. Because pre-trade deadline, you could say at least he could hire on the excuse that these players just aren't that good. He doesn't have that excuse anymore.
Right.
Like, Quentin Williams is more –
Did y'all run a lot of the five-man front? That's been working.
The thing is, I think we played well against the run. Like you said, Jahmyr Gibbs, the scrimmage yards were all your.
He had that one.
He had 60 total yards, and 35 of them came on one play.
David Montgomery?
Yes.
Yeah.
It was a 35-yard touchdown. But guess who was on the sideline?
Quentin Williams
and Kenny Clark. That's insane. Why is that your rotation? That's literally the whole white.
Right. And this is the game in which those are your cowbell guys. Like,
exactly. Yeah, no, that's insane of him.
Yeah.
I don't understand. I don't understand what he thinks is happening. I don't know what it is, but just, I mean, the defensive side of the ball is completely, it's the reason we're in the position we are right now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the kind of the exact opposite of y'all.
We'll say that last play, though, that interception was crazy. I mean, shout out to DJ Reed for making that play. But that was crazy.
Yeah, very. It's just, in my opinion, the game was out of reach by it. Once the game got to the point where we scored and made it a 3-point game.
Yeah.
After picking up the 2-point conversion, that's when the game we scored, made a 3-point game. Defense gives up a touchdown. Finally, we go down, get in field goal range to make it a 4-point game.
Yeah.
Defense gives up a touchdown.
Yeah.
And it's and that's when the interception came. So we were down by, I think, like 11. So the game wasn't out of reach, but it was still a 2-possession game at that point.
Yeah, yeah. And, that was crazy, though.
Yeah, it was very insane to, like, hit this receiver caught the ball almost. Yeah. Like, it's
he just ridiculous. Just that thing. Hey, shout out to your guy, Ryan, though. He
stepped up. He
had a good breakout game.
That's his second game this year with over 100 yards.
CD, what he left the game with a
concussion.
Oh, man, he's been fighting those a couple of times this year, right?
It wasn't good. It was on the line.
Is he still in concussion protocol?
Yeah, they said he's been improving day to day, but the concussion itself, it looked like one of those Tua moments where he
banged his
head
on the
ground and then his hand got up.
Oh, did you see T. Higgins?
No.
He took two hits. I don't know how they cleared him to get back in the game. But he's in concussion protocol now.
Yeah.
But his head hit the floor. I know it was snow, but it went like you just saw him.
Harder.
Yeah, no, he was like for a second, I was like, man.
That definitely was bad, but I mean,
so okay, with Matt Eberflus, right? Because we've kind of heard Jerry speak on him a little bit earlier this season. I mean, do you think Jerry's going to really run it back with him?
What he talked about earlier this season was that one of his biggest regrets over the past few years is not being able to have consistency with a defensive coach like that.
Right.
And I just don't care. I don't
like you. Don't start now.
We don't want this consistency.
Don't start now.
No, literally fire him. He should have been fired pre-trade deadline.
Yeah,
I just don't understand it. But
Jerry doesn't do that, right? He doesn't
fire coaches mid-season.
Yeah,
he always lets them he just doesn't re-sign them once that contract ends.
Is Matt Eberflus on your
list? I'm not sure. I'm not gonna look it up, but I hope so.
Yeah, because I'm wondering. I would say, man, I know y'all miss Al Harris right now.
Definitely,
I know y'all miss Al Harris. I don't know why y'all didn't make him the defensive coordinator.
And then I know we moved on from Mike Zimmer, although who wasn't just amazing, but he wasn't working with the best situation. Right. Him getting passed over for the head coaching job, Ryan Schottenheimer basically kind of burned that bridge.
Oh, come on, Mike. So, don't get salty like that. I mean, he was okay in Minnesota.
Right.
He was okay. I mean, their defense was top notch, but you know, that's another thing I'm noticing too, man. Like a lot of coordinators are so quick, and I get it, right? All coordinators, right? Like their dream goal is to be a head coach one day, right? Fair,
right?
But I also think some guys just need to, like, number one, you need to marinate for a few seasons, build some consistency, right? Like the minute your team is having a great year, like the first year, like head coaching Wade, like he's on track, right? Like, you know what I think about, like, watching the Texans?
Right.
I think about what happened to Bobby Slowick. Because remember, CJ Stroud's rookie year, Bobby Slowick was the offensive coordinator, and he was the talk of the town. Everybody loved him. The offense was moving well. Ball was moving all over the place. It was flawless, right? It was moving. It was great. It was a great offense. Young defense, but it was coming along great. And then they got rid of him after CJ's second year. And I kind of looked up why. And, you know, they were talking about, like, bad O-line play and offense kind of got stagnant and everything. And it's like, well, have y'all seen the Texans O-line in the past couple of years? It hasn't been great regardless. So, I don't know, man. I feel like if he would have stayed in Houston, I feel like their offense would be in a better spot now.
Right.
Could you give a guy a few years with, you know, the same quarterback and, you know, he figures out as each year progresses, you know, what he can do and what he can't do and what positions to best put him in for us to flourish, right? But I don't know about the coordinators nowadays, man. Like, they're so quick to head coach. It's like, nah, you got to find a guy. Like, that's why I'm happy we have a Vic Fangio. He's already done the head coaching thing. This man just wants to coach defense. That's all he wants. That's all he cares about. Kevin Mutulo,
I don't think he'll get the chance.
No, but it's crazy because I swear, I think I saw – and it could have been just like a troll thing on Twitter or whatever, but I think I saw like somewhere like where like teams aren't interested in him as a head coach. And I'm like,
y'all see, and that's as I was actually talking to my brother about this. So I think not for Kevin Petullo, but in terms of Matt Eberflus, I think this is
Are you seeing that for him too?
No, I think this is legitimately like a career
ender.
Like, it has potential to be a career ender in the turn. He's gonna have to like really work his
Probably like a demotion, right? Where he has to be like a linebacker coach again. Yeah.
It's just for me, and just from the sense that as a team, I don't think you'd be able to do this to your fan base in the sense that, like, can you imagine being being an Eagles fan, mm-hmm. and y'all hired Kevin Petullo or Matt Eberflus after what happened this season? It would be like, are y'all insane? Like, what would possibly, so I think just from a pure fan, I think a fan base would riot if they hired a Matt Eberflus or a Kevin Petullo. Just imagine a Kevin Petullo offensive and Matt Eberflus defense on the same team.
See, it's funny though, because after 2023, right, that was the last like poop year, right? I'm being clean on here. You know, Brian Johnson's offensive coordinator, he was god awful. What does Washington do the very next season? Hire him as the offensive coordinator. And I said, oh, you have fun with that. I'll pack your bags. Go ahead. Please. You have fun with that, Washington.
Well, yeah, I guess it's a team season when Eberflus is doing and still wants that. Please take him. Because that is bad.
Right. Hey, I mean, shoot. Take him as a head coach. He'll definitely leave at that point, right? You couldn't find his contract information?
I didn't see it.
Well, that's interesting. But, yeah, it seems like Matt Eberflus should go. I just wonder if Jerry Jones will pull the trigger. I know Jeffrey Lurie will because he's done that before. You know, in terms of, you know, Kevin Petullo, he has to go. Matt got to go. I guess I'll ask this real quick. Is there anybody who you'd like to maybe even – that's already at Dallas as a position coach or something? I know y'all don't have Al Harris anymore, but is there anybody who you'd like to step into that role?
I don't even have a name, just someone who's not named Matt
Eberflus.
And the last name doesn't rhyme with Bieberflus.
And you know what? I'll say this too, because y'all are the Cowboys. Like, you can probably steal somebody just because you are the Cowboys. You know what I'm saying? Like,
maybe.
Because if you can make it happen in Dallas, right, then that's really when your name starts to get put out there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, maybe you can go steal a young guy from another, you know, NFL team, or maybe, I don't know, maybe if you go to college, right, I don't know how often goes that route really since Jimmy Johnson, right? But
no, yeah, they kind of alluded to it with the offense, the second interception, Dak ended up having two interceptions. I'm not going to fault him for either one, but the second one, like you said, got ripped out. And the first one, people are like, oh, he's forcing the ball into tight coverage.
Remind me, what happened on the first one?
It was a slant to George Pickens, and George Pickens just lost on the route. It's a slant. It's going to be tight coverage. He didn't extend his arms. He didn't even, like, really fight to the ball. He just let the defender go through and Dak put the ball exactly where it was supposed to be.
Right.
And that's what it's gonna be when you throw that. Like, it's one-on-one coverage with who's been with the league's second best receiver all season, second to Jackson Smith and Jigba. He has to win that route. Mm-hmm. He has to go there with the ball, and it just didn't. So that's the interceptions, and then Jake Ferguson had a fumble.
Yes.
He's averaging like seven point something yards a catch. And like I said earlier this season, he's in his Jason Witten era. Well, Jason Witten.
How many receiving yards does he have? Do you know?
It's like 400 or 500.
Dude, Dallas Goedert only has like, I think, 470. But he has 8 touchdowns, but
Jason Witten, at his worst, his worst yards per catch was 8.2. So he's even worse than the old man Jason Witten right now.
What do you say to the because a lot of people were calling out George Pickens for his lack of effort.
I think it's very valid. Yeah, okay. For a lot of people were trying to defend him, saying he's been running routes like that all season, and my problem wasn't with the route running per se. It was just his aggressiveness in trying to haul your catches. I think that was the biggest problem. But in terms of his effort or even just his like overall performance, I think he's Because I feel like a lot of people took this as an opportunity to be like, oh, these women are gone. And I'm like, well, that's insane. Because first of all, it was, like half a bad game, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
When, and even that, he still had a decent amount of catches and yards. And like I said, he's been the second best receiver all season.
Mm-hmm.
He's not just going to play like he's going to have an amazing game, 17 games, every single play, all game. He's afforded a few to the plays off. If that, like, I don't want it, but I'm not saying it's just.
It's not cause to pause for you.
Yeah, not even in the slightest.
Yeah.
I think people were just waiting in the bushes to kind of jump on him, and I think this is a very, very minuscule moment that I feel like they're just kind of grasping. Especially based off the, like, if this is as bad as it gets,
right?
One game out of seven. Well, I guess we haven't played 17 games yet. What if we played 13? One game out of 13 games, like, I'll take it.
Right.
Versus they are. I was told he was a locker room cancer.
Mm-hmm.
He was going to crash out. He was going to be, you know, losing us games, penalties up the wazoo. But none of that is happening. So
right.
I feel like that entire situation was just over. Completely. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean. Yeah, like you said, I think he definitely took a few plays off Thursday night. Yeah, Detroit, you know, they say what you want about Dan Campbell, but his team is always going to play hard, right? I'm thinking about also prayers up to Brian Branch, popped his Achilles.
Yeah.
It's not a good look. I love Brian Branch as a player. Yeah, because Pickens was definitely working Amik Robinson early. I thought that was a bad matchup from the get-go. I think George Pickens took a few plays off. But, I mean, like you said, if that's going to happen in the grand scheme of a otherwise all-pro caliber season.
And on top of that, once CD went down, the coverage completely. Right, yeah.
We're zeroing on George Pickens. And, we're not going to let him. That's why Ryan Florinor was getting all the plays he was making, right?
Right.
We're not going to let George beat us at that point. You kidding me?
Did you see his?
Him and Richard Sherman?
Yes.
Yep, I did. What'd you think about that?
Oh, I'm Team George all the way. I support that.
Where are you at on him deleting it, though?
I feel like I was just the Cowboys team told him, like, we're like, hey, man, you got to take that down. Which is understandable. It was very explicit. Yeah. And, but he basically said something along the lines of retiring, like, playing the sport, and they're retiring to kind of – because – Oh, and we can start with Richard Sherman. Richard Sherman was the first person. He was on the post game show for the because it was on the Amazon post game show because it's Thursday night game. And those plays that we're talking about that we saw George Pickens take off, he was called him everything under the sun, equivalent to lazy.
He was the money. I mean, he basically said, like, I mean, are we sure, like, if you're the Cowboys, are we sure we want to pay this guy?
Right. And so he's the first one to put that narrative out there. So George Pickens responded on Instagram and was saying basically being a player and, you know, just having these hot takes is, like, soft of you. It's you should know better than that. Especially being somebody who played defense, knowing what double teams and bracketed coverages are.
He did talk about that.
He basically said you are nothing without the Legion of Boom. We all remember what happened in San Francisco.
Man.
Which he did have a year or two decent in San Francisco.
Yeah. When he first got to San Francisco, he played good.
But the way it ended in San Francisco, what George is alluding to.
I'll say this about Richard Sherman. I kind of lost respect for him when he started poo-pooing on Russ. When it's like, dude, like that. This guy helped you win a Super Bowl. Like, why are you talking? You know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't like that. He also, I mean, he was talking crazy. He was flat out saying false numbers about Russ's stats on the Prime post game show. So, yeah, Richard Sherman, he's kind of a miss with me. I don't tend to, like, really tune into what he's saying.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm not gonna say he doesn't know ball. Obviously, he was an All Pro, Hall of Famer. Debate that with somebody else, but I mean. Yeah, just in terms of, like, when he has stuff to say, I kind of, like, all right, bro, whatever. Because, like, you poo-pooed on your old teammate, your old quarterback, who helped you win a Super Bowl, helped you get to two, right?
I mean, he made his whole, like, name poo-pooing on, like, Michael Crabtree. So, yeah. Like, he's made, right. That's right. Been, like, his whole career.
Does he ever put a star receiver like Crabtree on me?
Right.
Man, Aaron Andrews jump out of her skin, dog. That was funny. But, yeah, man, I mean, you know, the Cowboys fell short. Who'd y'all have coming up this week?
Minnesota.
Oh, yes. Are you going to go to that game? Or because you were talking about it, no?
No, my friend Christian, who's a Vikings fan, I didn't even bring it up since the last time we talked about it. Since then, it was because we talked about it like right around the trade deadline. Uh-huh. And I remember kind of being like, oh, let me giving me like a week or two. Let me see how this defense is like going to shape up. And his team was kind of like finding the groove. J.J. McCarthy had kind of just came back, and so they were looking decent. But since then,
yeah,
it had been bad. They played well against Washington.
Listen, I want J.J. McCarthy to do to finish out the season, maybe they make the playoffs, whatever, maybe they don't. I just want him to find consistency and continuity in whatever Kevin O'Connell wants to run. And if he does that, I'm happy. And he sliced up a bad Washington defense. But, I mean, he did it. He came out there, threw for three touchdowns, was airing it out.
What I think one thing, like,
you still got to figure it out with Justin Jefferson, but
that's it. That's my
That has to be the number one thing.
Yeah,
that has to be the number
one. Y'all will lose him very quickly.
Yeah, no, they got to figure it out with Justin Jefferson, and it's probably easier said than done, right? But it's like, golly, y'all got the number one receiver in football. Get him the, you know what I'm saying? Like, get him the ball. I mean, again, easier said than done, right? But yeah, man, I mean, well, hopefully they figure that out, and hopefully Minnesota can, you know, stack some wins, and hopefully JJ can stack solid performances to end his rookie year. That's all I hope for. But
we have Minnesota, then we have Minnesota, the Chargers, then the Giants and the Commanders. And we need to win all four.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. What do you anticipate hearing on Hard Knocks this week?
I think it'll kind
of post. It'll be post Detroit game. So what do you think?
I think it'll be. I'm not really sure because I don't really feel like the.
And you're not. I mean, because you're not even a Hard Knocks like watcher like that.
No, yeah, but I'm definitely familiar.
When they're out, I'm pretty locked in on them.
And I mean, after the first week, I think because it showcased the Cowboys and Eagles, the second match, the comeback win, mm-hmm. and then for us, it showed the Thanksgiving game. So I think, yeah, it'll definitely be showing this Lions game and kind of just, I think it'll just be showing the mindset of the team and show that they feel like they can make the playoffs.
Right.
And you want to keep the hope and that opportunity open.
Right.
So I think that's just kind of be the
overall message.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I can't wait to hear Nick Sirianni's newest rendition of I Love Adversity.
Yeah.
That's all. I Love Adversity. Everybody's talking outside. We're cool inside. I can't wait to hear it, man, because it's the same old song. And coach speak when you're winning, cool, whatever. Coach speak when you're not only losing but flailing and just falling to the wayside.
For the Jalen, he said something along the lines of, blah, blah, it's like, yeah, it sucks, but it's about how you respond.
How you respond. He says like, that every time.
You can't say that 3 weeks. Like, this was supposed to be the response.
He says that every time. For better or for worse, he's consistent.
Yeah.
For better or for worse, he's consistent. Jalen, like, he never gets too high. He never gets too low, right? Some people feel a way about how stoic he is and how much emotion he doesn't really show and everything. And
so, because like, y'all, so we, when we, the Cowboys win, they do this thing called Sounds from the Sidelines from their media team.
Yeah.
Where they have like a camera and a microphone, like they're showing literally like how, what the guy's talking about on the sideline. It's about like a 9-10 minute video.
Yeah.
And me and my brother talk about it all the time. The deck that is in interviews and giving press conferences and stuff
is not the deck on the sideline.
That's not a real deck. That is not the Dak Prescott everybody knows. Yeah.
I've seen some of the clips. Like,
you make the joke a lot that out of all the black quarterbacks, we have the whitest one. Well, that is a facade he puts on. Like, with the guy on the sideline is a guy that I could agree.
He is half white, but
no, exactly. and so we were never like, we never really were like, we weren't holding it against him. It was like something we just joked about. But then when you see how he really is when the guard, he's lit up.
He's fired up.
He's a lot more cool. He's a lot more like relaxed. And so it's like, do you think with Jalen, there's any of that, like, he's just who he is in interviews.
He's the same.
Just consistent.
He's the same.
On the sideline. Mm-hmm.
The only time the second game against the Giants, I came over here and I was like, Jalen was showing like emotion and animation for the first time. He was like, I told y'all, like, he was literally like flexing and all like rah, rah, and all this and that. Jalen Hurts doesn't do that. Like, he doesn't. So to see him do that, it is kind of like he does get amped up sometimes, right?
Right.
No, he's the exact same person. He's very, like, you see him after he throws an interception on the side, like, he'll be sitting there, he's like, you know, just do whatever, get his iPad. Look, he's a very stoic person. Like, he just is. I don't hold that against him, right? No, it's not one way or the other, right? We got a very fiery head coach, which I like that rather than the all-star. I'd rather my head coach be fiery than stoic. I'll tell you that.
No, definitely. I'm taking Brian Schottenheimer and his emotion over the Clapper.
Right. Like, don't get me wrong, Nick Sirianni's made mistakes, but I'll take him cussing out a ref last night over him just like, oh, whatever. I was like, when Michigan played Michigan State, right? And Michigan State, they've sucked since the whole Mel Tucker thing scandal, right? I didn't even know who their new head coach was. A guy named Jonathan Smith. And I was like, who is this guy? And I was talking to somebody. I was working one of the remotes. Mm. And I was talking to somebody. And he was from Michigan. He was a Michigan State fan. And he was like, no, dude. He was like, Jonathan Smith, he literally shows no emotion at all. And I was like, man, like, none? He was like, none whatsoever. And I'm watching Michigan, fast forward, I'm watching Michigan play Michigan State. And Michigan State's playing horribly. They're turning the ball over, all this, that. And you just see Jonathan Smith on the sideline just like, and it's like, I'm watching a guy, and it's not even his fault. Like, number one, this job is too big for him. And he's just trying to do his best.
Right.
But this is not him. He's not a head coach. You know what I'm saying? Mm. So, yeah, no, I absolutely love the passion Nick Sirianni coaches with.
I used to hate when Jason Garrett would be standing over there just clapping. It's a little more emotion, but it was the same. Like, it was basically no emotion because it was the same thing. It was just like a emoticon every time. Every freaking play.
Right. It's funny because
bad.
To go from Andy Reid to Doug Peterson to Nick Sirianni, like, the level of emotion shown has definitely gone way up, right?
No, yeah, it is definitely very stoic.
Yes, yeah, you know, so I'm here for it, man. I'm a passionate person too, so I love to see it, even if it's misguided sometimes, but I'm here for it. But no, that's our quarterback, man. Jalen is Jalen through and through, and I'm not knocking him for it. It is what it is. Listen, as long as he comes out here and balls and makes plays and plays fast and plays decisive and puts us in positions to succeed and win games, you can be as stoic as you want, right? Yeah, no, that's Jalen, man. Jalen versus Dak. That's another that's another divider right there. But speaking of quarterbacks, man, I'm in a meeting yesterday after work. I'm in a meeting. I get a notification on my phone. It says the Indianapolis Colts are working out Phillip Rivers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even gonna lie. Like, I literally like what? Like, I was like, and everybody's like, what? Like, what is it? And I was like, it's football stuff. Like, because most people at my day job, like, I can't do this with them. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I can't. And they're like, oh, like, what is it? I was like, do you really want to know? And they were like, yeah. And I said, a 44-year-old retired NFL quarterback who has, I believe, 12 kids.
Some couple grandkids.
He's a grandfather now. He's been out of the league since 2020. He's also about to be eligible for the Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. They are trying to pull him out of retirement. He's a high school football coach. They're going to pull him out of retirement to try to save their season, the Indianapolis Colts are, right? I'm not gonna lie. I saw that immediately. I thought it was a mistake, man. I thought it was a mistake. I get it. Familiarity, right? He was with the Colts when he retired. He knows the Ursays very well. He knows the offense very well. It's been the same offense they've been running since he was there. I understand it. Are you telling me there is not one quarterback on anybody's practice squad, not one free agent, not nobody? There's nobody younger.
I honestly don't think so. I think the state of quarterback play in terms of backup, in terms of practice squad players, is abysmal. That's how you get, what's the guy they got that came in for JJ?
Max Brosmer.
How you get Max Brosmer games. Getting practice squad players and younger guys like that.
Where's Josh Jobs at?
I mean,
he helped the Vikings stay afloat, right? Where's Josh Dobbs at?
Yeah, maybe a guy, somebody like that who at least has a little bit of experience, but isn't that old. But yeah,
the Colts season's over.
Yeah, I think
right. So. Anybody who was really thinking Phillip Rivers is about to come out here after not playing for 5 years, and he's 44,
yeah,
and he's about to come in, and the culture's gonna keep rolling, man, it's over. And really, I'll be honest with you. Would you rather the Colts? I can't pack it in. I guess I wouldn't even say pack it. Listen, because real talk, I know Anthony Richardson. He's out with a orbital fracture. They're talking about his face is messed up. Fine, whatever. Riley Leonard dealing with leg injury, whatever. I mean, man, you can't. We saw the Rams. We saw the Rams sign Baker Mayfield like 2 days prior to him making a start for them.
Yeah.
And going out, balling out. I'm not even saying do that because, oh, by the way, you have a Jonathan Taylor and you have a solid offensive line and a solid defense. You just need somebody in there to, hand the ball off, quick passes. That's it. And really, it might only need to be for this week. Riley Leonard is only, his leg injury, they're talking about he's out for this week. I don't know how serious of an injury it is. So he might only be out for this week.
Yeah.
Right? And now, if you're telling me you're going to do it with Phillip Rivers, maybe. But I just, number one, prayers up to Daniel Jones also.
Yeah.
That's tough. I think he popped his Achilles out of a long-term contract.
Yeah, I don't think he should have played in that game anyway.
I don't think, because they was talking about he had a fractured fibula.
No, you could literally see, I saw clips of him, dropping back before the game even started.
And he didn't look right?
You could tell.
Yeah, yeah. Nah, dude. Dude's got to stop doing that, man. You're literally messing up the money. You're messing up the money. No, the Colts season is effectively over.
Yeah.
Unless Phillip Rivers makes us eat our words and goes on a magical run.
Definitely.
I didn't see that on my bingo card. So we'll see how that goes. I think it's a mistake, man, but maybe you're right. Maybe the state of backup quarterback play is just that bad. There's nobody. Nobody you want to see on a practice squad. Like seriously, nobody. Nah, somebody from the CFL, we can't get nobody. We can't get nobody.
No, definitely nobody that's not in the league. I used to work XFL games, roast quarterback.
Not XFL, but CFL, the Canadian Football League. They produce some Hall of Famers.
Since when? When?
Dude, Doug Flutie played there.
They produced Hall of Fame a long time ago. Current player.
The most recent good Canadian football player that I can think of, Cameron Wake. You remember Cameron Wake?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was from the Canadian Football League.
The XFL is that's up there.
XFL, yeah.
Brandon Aubrey and Turpin played in the XFL.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm
just saying, somebody. somebody. I don't know. Maybe Phillip Rivers was the best bet. And if he was, I guess, man, because you don't want to look at the fans and say you're packing it in.
Right, especially with they had their hopes up so high, and it's at least
you traded three first rounders for Sauce Gardner.
And then he immediately gets hurt.
Yeah, it's crumbling right now in Indy, man. It's crumbling. I think their season's over. And we'll see, man. Maybe Phillip Rivers will make us eat our words. Man, that would be something if the Colts went on a Super Bowl run with 44-year-old Phillip Rivers.
I wouldn't be mad at it.
That would make for, man, comeback of the year, comeback of the decade, maybe. Man, who knows?
That would make that Hall of Fame run in the next 5 years up to wait. It would make it a lot easier when it came back around, though.
Yeah, I think he's Hall of Famer right now, but that's true. That's true. That would definitely that would harden his cement case, in my opinion.
Definitely.
But before we get on out of here, it is time for What Say You. This week's topic is brought to us by king of the streaming platforms, Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
As many of you know, or I hope you know, Netflix is apparently trying to acquire Warner Brothers. I thought they did. Apparently they're in a bidding war with Paramount. We'll see, whatever, right? But that's besides the point. Netflix is a co-CEO or something. One of the heads at Netflix came out recently and said they feel like the movie theater industry is dying. And I strongly disagree.
Well, I think they are dying. I think the overall, because I go to the movies. I think you're saying you go to the movies, but I don't think a lot of people are going.
You know what
to
I say?
Like,
here's what I say to that. Zootopia 2 just did crazy numbers. Like, they're about to gross $1 billion worldwide.
But is that physically in the movie theater?
Yeah, Zootopia. Zootopia 2 is only in the movies.
Mm. Oh, well.
And to my overarching point with that, why I think movie theaters will never die is because kids will always be around.
Well, I think what he's saying is the movie theater dies, but when Zootopia 3 comes out, it just goes straight to Netflix.
See, and I was talking to my coworker about that earlier today. I think, because like I said to you before we started recording, unless Netflix buys out every major production company, right? It'll never get to that point. Right, Disney will never be bought by a streaming service, right? Lionsgate, I know Warner Brothers, but like they're kind of I don't know if they were struggling, but I guess they wanted to be up for grabs, and so here they are. I think though the process of like rolling out a movie, right? Like I enjoy seeing new trailers, right? I enjoy seeing what's coming out.
Same.
Right? There's a process to that, right? There's something that streaming can't give you. Right. And I think that, like, for a major movie like a Zootopia 3, like, I don't think they would sacrifice that and just say, all right, man, like, go straight to stream. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I don't see that happening. I think Netflix is trying to, here's what I said. I think Netflix is trying to talk the talk, but they can't walk the walk with this. You know what I'm saying? Don't get me wrong, they can dominate the streaming services and whatever. Maybe they can buy Warner Brothers, whatever, cool. But like, they'll never buy Disney.
Oh, no. Nice.
They'll never buy Disney, right? And Disney has a foothold in almost everybody and everything. So I think movie theaters, now can you say like, are the numbers down maybe? Because, you know, people in our generation and younger generations, yeah, they rather stay in and, you know, watch stream or whatever. Yeah, you could say that, but I don't think the movie theater industry is dying. Every year, parents are waiting to see what new kid movie drops to take their kids to have them obsess over, right? And for that reason alone, I think that's why it's going to keep on. If you want to say thrive, you want to stay stand above, float, whatever, however you want to phrase it, right? Now, if you want to say the film industry is getting kind of like dull, yeah, we can have a conversation about that. I feel like a lot of ideas are redundant. They're the same. They're copycats. Fair. We can have that conversation. But to me, I don't think the theater industry as a whole is on a downtrend.
I honestly think it is. I think when it comes to like the amount of content consumed,
yeah,
I think like the movies would probably be
the first thing to go.
The least amount from people, because like I love going to the movies. Me and my brother, whenever there's like
a you have a niece who's like a teenager, right? Does she go to the movies?
Absolutely not. Never. Never. She's in high school. She never goes to the movies.
Now, if you think, okay, but like, has she ever like, oh my God, there's a movie coming out. I want to go see it. Like you did. Like she's ever shown you that?
Nothing I know of.
Really? Okay. Because my nephew, he just turned 4, right? So I can't really. I can't bridge where he's at with it right now yet, but.
But I know for a fact she watches shows, like streaming shows and stuff. And like I said, I love the, the last movie I saw in the movies was Now You See Me 3.
Oh, how was that?
I liked it a lot. I love
the first, I like the first two movies.
Yeah, me and my brother, when we even got like the D-Box seats that like, I enjoyed the entire experience of being at the movies and stuff.
Except for the highway robbery food prices.
I bring my own food in, so.
Oh, let her go. Okay.
Yeah, literally always have. So even as a kid, my parents would take us. We'd bring our own snacks.
That's fair. Yeah, well, my mom had a purse. I didn't have a purse. I don't have a purse.
I would just put it in my pocket.
Would you just be putting any candy?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't bring, bring like actual food.
Yeah, yeah. You'd be seeing dudes like sneak in like meals.
Yeah, well, that's crazy. Well, but the thing is, they don't care.
No. Unless you know, you go on the one Tuesday night. You got the stickler usher who like, nah, bro.
Because it's closed now, but the movie theater in our college.
In San Mo. Yeah, I used to stay in that parking lot.
I used to work there. And yeah, people used to do whatever they wanted there. And we did not care. They didn't pay us enough. We were making like $8 an hour.
Yeah, that's crazy.
In like 2018, 2019.
That's crazy. But you make a fair point. The younger generation, they probably not going to trend towards the movie, going to the movies like that. I'll tell you what, though. When I have kids, movies will be a thing.
I remember just being a kid and, like, because
you wanted to go to the movies.
Well, because me and my brother, we go see all, like, we were seeing, like, the Marvel movies when they came out. And, like, as a kid, I remember specifically, like, my dad taking me to go see Fantastic Four at the movie theater. And I was like, it just should be a good time.
Yeah, yeah.
Or just being a kid and going to the movies. Like, my parents would send us up there, and we buy one ticket and be at the movies all day, going from theater to theater.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We would do that at the Dollar Theater.
You used to have the Dollar Theater over there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right on Bottle Settlers. That thing was.
Yep. If you know, you know.
Right.
If you know, you know.
Also, freaking Tyler's.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are the days. Okay. So, you know what? I won't say it's dying, but it may be on a downtrend with the younger generation. I'll say that.
Yeah,
I'll say that. But what say you, man? Is the movie industry dying for y'all? Do y'all still go to the movies like me and Lando? Do you not frequent the movies like that? Are you team Netflix and streaming taking over? Where are you at, Eagles fans? It's the same song and dance, man. It was all Jalen's fault last night. Yeah, man, season's over. We all know it. It is what it is. Cowboys fans,
y'all have hope. Are y'all still holding off that little inkling of the chance we have to make it? Do y'all even want to? I was actually talking to my brother about this. Do we even want to make the playoffs with this? Because
to get a better first round pick.
Well, that, and I was more so like, say, because there's a chance we win out, but we don't make the playoffs.
Yeah,
and we were just kind of talking about that, and it's just like, man, with this defense right now, it's do I even want to be we're gonna get there in the same way, like the context, it's just gonna be like, oh, Dak Prescott can't win once we make it there. And I know I'm a Cowboys fan, so I was like, I want to give us the best chance, but I'm just so sick of that,
right?
When there's so much more context to it,
right?
Which I know we're about to get there, but here's one more point I like to break. I just hate how people love saying, oh, Dak can't win a big game, but it seems like it's only a big game once we lose. Because I seem to remember the Eagles game and the Chiefs game both being big games before we played the games.
Yeah.
And then once we lose to the Lions, it's, well, Dak, once again, Dak can't win big games.
Oh, I think people just have to clarify, like, postseason success versus.
And even like that can be a thing if you're specific, because he doesn't at least have what. But then once again, context comes in. And I'm sick of it all
falls on him.
Like I've been saying this whole show, I think too much nuance and too much like goes into like a win and a loss for it to just be like all on the one person. But, yeah. Hey,
I mean, I'll tell you what. Last night,
no,
I don't.
But that's you would think that's how all the Dax playoff games went the way people talk about.
Yeah, I mean, no, I hear you. I think. It's easy. First of all, Jalen Hurts made it very easy for me last night to put it on him. But it's very easy to, and I'll just make a quick point, it's very easy to put it all on the quarterback one way or the other. When it comes to Dak Prescott, the question has always been like postseason success. Yeah, he doesn't have a whole lot of it. Fair. But like you said, context matters. If your defense is giving up 28 points, you know, I mean, even if you play great, if your defense is giving up 28 points, you have a slim shot of winning. Right. So, yeah, no, I hear you. I hear you. No, but to your point, though, about, like, do you even want to make the playoffs? I was going to say, dude, 2023, I literally was like, can we forfeit our playoff spot? Like, so serious. I don't want to see this. I know exactly what's going to happen. And this year, too, if we make the playoffs, can we forfeit? I don't want to see this. I know exactly what's going to happen. Wild card bounce. And then everybody's like, oh, my God, like, we couldn't get it done. Like, we haven't been saying this all year.
Right.
I know exactly what's about to happen. I don't want to see this same show again, man. I've seen it time and time again. I don't want to see it again. So I feel you. Colts fans, really NFL fans in general, Phillip Rivers is back.
Do you think he still has some juice left in the tank?
Do we like it? Do we love it? Are we like, what the F are the Colts doing? Stay tuned. We'll find out, right? But, hey, that's a wrap on this episode of Birds at the Rodeo. I'm Eric, your resident Eagles fan.
I'm Orlando, the resident Cowboys fan.
And like, comment, subscribe, follow us on YouTube, follow us on TikTok,
yep.
Twitter. You can find us anywhere you can get podcasts.
Just keep up the support, man. We appreciate everything y'all do for us. We, like we said, we're going to keep churning these videos out.
Yep, yep.
And we're going to keep giving y'all, letting y'all know how we feel about everything. So let us know how y'all feel.
Absolutely. And on that note, we'll talk to you guys next week. Peace.
Later.